Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hello, thank you so much for tuning in to this week's Food for Thought, a podcast on a mission to equip you all with the latest evidence-based advice that you need to live and breathe a healthy lifestyle. I'm Rhiannon Lambert, registered nutritionist, best-selling author of Renourish, A Simple Way to Eat Well, soon to be author of The Science of Nutrition out December the 30th, 2021, and founder of Retrition, London's leading private nutrition clinic. In each episode, we are going to be joined by guests, all of whom are experts in their field, so that together we can all learn fact from fiction and empower the healthiest and happiest versions of ourselves with our trusted expert advice. The environmental, health, and ethical benefits of eating plant-based are beyond doubt, but all too many still feel a bit intimidated by the idea. So this week's Food for Thought sees Dr. Gemma Newman and I discuss where to start and all the advice that you need to make the transition without any issues. Hello, Gemma.
Hi, Ri. How are you?
Oh, I am very, very well, thank you. Thank you for asking. Thank you for coming on the podcast as well. I think it's a big topic, plant-based nutrition at the moment, and perhaps we should go straight in today with the question that a lot of people probably ask you all the time, and that's about maybe meat alternatives. So they seem to be everywhere in the supermarkets, but I guess the ultimate question is, are they healthier?
That's an excellent question. I'm glad you asked me. Yes, they are everywhere, and with good reason, I think. You know, there's a lot of environmental research now to show that the way that the animal agriculture industry works is causing a lot of harm to the environment. So a lot of companies are now cottoning onto this and providing options for people who enjoy, you know, their burgers and their sausages, and they want them to taste as meaty as possible. So I think overall it's a great thing. And, you know, when we ask a question about whether something's healthy, I think it's really important to take a step back and just think, well, healthier than what? Because as we know, you know, sort of processed meats are a class one carcinogen according to the World Health Organization. And so if you're consuming quite a lot of those, then I would say that the plant-based meat alternatives are ostensibly healthier than that, because they don't contain the same carcinogenic compounds. But if you're somebody that has a lot of whole foods, a lot of fruits and vegetables and whole grains and legumes, then, you know, if you're having maybe something like a mushroom burger or a bean burger, then that's probably potentially going to be a healthier option. So I think it's more about sort of deciding, you know, where you're at right now and where you want to be. And if you enjoy the taste of meat and you want to try an alternative, then it's a lovely option.
I couldn't agree more. And I think there really is an argument as well for educating people to know what to look for as well in the meat alternatives. I think because some of them perhaps aren't high in protein and might be a bit higher in salt. And if they're replacing their main protein source with a plant-based alternative, they need to check what the key nutrition is. But
absolutely. I mean, I was just going to say, I think there's a couple of the plant-based alternatives that are higher in salt, but they are also lower in saturated fat.
Yes.
And so that's an interesting marker for cardiovascular disease. It's important to think about. So I think it's about sort of understanding what's in the ingredients and sort of making a decision based on what you like to eat as well.
Yeah. Oh, gosh, the enjoyment of food is one of the key components as well. And if people are making a big lifestyle change, of course, it's important to understand that needs to be enjoyable as well. I think it's also now 100% proven, isn't it, that you can perform optimally on a plant-based diet. So perhaps let's just touch on what plant-based actually means and how it is proven that it is great for us.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, plant-based nutrition essentially means relying mostly on plants, and it's not quite the same thing as veganism, although people often use those terms interchangeably. So veganism is a way of life which aims to minimize harm to animals and therefore also minimizes use of animal products as much as is feasibly possible. And so that would just be not only what you're eating, but also the things that you choose to wear or use, certain cosmetic products, cleaning products, and so on. And you would be excluding meat and dairy and eggs. And most vegans would also exclude honey. Whereas if you're eating a plant-based diet, what you're saying is that you're having most of your foods from plants. And that can actually fit into a number of different eating patterns. Although when people talk about a whole foods plant-based diet, then they tend to be talking about a diet that is based primarily around fruits, vegetables, whole grains and legumes. And it also tends to exclude animal products, especially when you look at the literature, if people talk about a whole foods plant-based diet.
Yeah. And I mean, the literature is fascinating. You touched on heart health. So let's, I guess, start by discussing literature around heart health or what we know about the consumption of plants and how it can contribute to cardiovascular health.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, plants are fantastic for cardiovascular health. They give loads of micronutrients, antioxidants, vitamins, minerals, fiber. We know that fiber is very heart healthy. And, you know, they're also devoid of pro-inflammatory molecules such as NU5GC and heme iron. And so there's a number of sort of positives. They've got, you know, a lot of they kind of have the full protein package because they also have the fiber with them as well, which is great. And they don't contain saturated fat for the most part. Obviously, there are a few sources of saturated fat in the plant kingdom, but primarily they contain more of the omega fats, PUFAs and MUFAs, polyunsaturated and monounsaturated fats. And so, yeah, they just provide a really lovely base from which to really enjoy a very rich and diverse diet. And as you've pointed out, you can really thrive on plants. If you have a well-planned plant-based diet, many athletes are doing that now as well.
Yeah.
You touched on that. We've got people like Lewis Hamilton and Serena Williams. We've got other tennis players. I can't remember the name of him now. What's the world champion?
Novak Djokovic.
Yes.
Some footballers that we work with in the clinic, they're vegans, plant-based eaters. So it is popular now, and it does work.
Yeah. I mean, in fact, it's one of the main reasons I actually discovered some of the scientific benefits, actually, is because my husband was running the London Marathon and he was developing a lot of inflammation, a lot of pain. And he looked at his running technique, he looked at his footwear, he thought, what else can I look at? Maybe what I'm eating. And he decided to look at these ultra runners because he thought, well, if I'm struggling to run a marathon, how do these guys run 2, 3, 4 marathons in one go?
Yes.
And what he discovered was that he was reading Rich Roll's book, Finding Ultra, Scott Jurek, who's arguably one of the most well-known ultra runners of all time. Brendan Brazier's book, he wrote a book called Thrive. He helped Hugh Jackman get ripped to be Wolverine. So my husband was like, right, well, I'm going to do that and see how it goes. And it was amazing. He was able to dramatically improve his running times and his recovery. I think one of the main things in the scientific literature really that helps people if they want to try it is the ability to recover more quickly in between training sessions, which a lot of people say anecdotally as well.
Yes. Yeah, it is definitely an area that needs looking at. And it makes perfect sense to me that that the literature's there, because we know the benefits of fibre, of course, within the diet as well. And I think there are some links as well, which we should touch on before I go into the depths of fibre and antioxidants and things, of emotional well-being being supported with plant-based diets. Do you think there's a connection there?
I really do. And it's something, there is some science there, but there's also just a lot of people, my patients have said to me, I just feel generally happier, and they couldn't quite put their finger on it. And when I looked at it, we know that Felicia Jax has done some great research using the Mediterranean diet as a therapeutic tool to help people who were suffering from low mood. There's an interesting study. It was with an insurance company called Geico in the US, and they offer their employees some plant-based meals, the options to eat plant-based meals in their work canteen, and a few education sessions on why it might be beneficial. And interestingly, that was a randomized controlled trial. And again, it showed that the people who were in the plant-based cohort, not only did they experience improved biomarkers, but actually they reported that they had better mood, and there was also better productivity at work, which is, of course, a really important outcome for most companies, when you consider the role of sickness, in terms of their financial impact. So, yeah, it's really interesting that there do seem to be some links there. And people say it's to do with the serotonin that's produced in the gut, and I think that there may well be a link there, but also we should be aware that the serotonin that's produced in the gut, which is our sort of happy hormone, a lot of that can't make it past the blood-brain barrier. So what can get past the blood-brain barrier is the amino acid tryptophan. And so there's some good evidence to suggest that eating plant-based foods that are high in tryptophan will be a way of helping your brain to produce more serotonin, which may improve mood. And certainly we know that other microbial sort of components help us to regulate our neurotransmitters like dopamine as well. So, yeah, I am sure that there is a link there, but we haven't quite pieced it all together just yet.
I mean, I love the food and mood link, and you've mentioned tryptophan, and that actually needs a carbohydrate carrier. So
yes,
we need the carbs. This is why low-carb diets are just not the one, in my opinion, or the answer, because, you know, without the right quality carbohydrates, we need the serotonin production to get through the blood-brain barrier. And it's so interesting. You mentioned, you know, a lot of things are produced in the gut. You've touched on the serotonin. Obviously, we know vitamins and minerals are created in our gut area as well. Some of them are synthesized there. But if we look at antioxidants now, if we go into that, because I think everybody listening's probably heard of antioxidants. And in your book, you discuss that these properties are really wonderful in vegan diets. So we're talking about vegan diets now, not just plant-based. So what exactly are antioxidants for everybody listening? Where do they come from?
Yeah, it's an interesting phrase, isn't it? Because in the popular zeitgeist, some people think, antioxidants are good. But basically, if we just bring it down to sort of very basic level, we understand that every physiological process, every metabolic process requires energy. And in the process of just living, moving, thinking, being, we produce free radicals, which are sort of oxygen species that go around inside our cells. And you can kind of imagine them like pinballs in a pinball machine. They kind of bounce around and they are really fast and they can cause damage as they go. And they are kind of soothed by electrons. So things that donate electrons help those free radicals, those oxygen species, to calm down, to stop bouncing around inside the cell. And vegetables and fruits essentially are electron donators. So they have that ability to help to neutralize the damage caused by these free radicals and thereby reduce oxidative stress. And that's really the main mechanism by which they work. But I think it's quite interesting to also go very sort of back to basics and think about nature in general. You know how calming it feels to be outside and, you know, maybe walking on the grass with barefoot. Well, this is interesting. I mean, we don't have much data around this, maybe a couple of very small trials, but when you actually stand on the grass, potentially what the grass is doing or the ground is actually that grounding process is donating electrons as well, which I think is really interesting as a way of perhaps also reducing oxidative stress, although there's less research around that.
No, it's just another reason to eat our fruit and veg, I think, Gemma, and it's definitely a cause for concern. That I was thinking while you were speaking, and if we go back to the connection with well-being before, that the reason that, this is getting a bit deep, but just bear with me, the reason I think society has kind of realised or woken up from this meat and two veg aspect is also because we live in a different time where we've got availability to food. We've got the access to the wide variety. We can import foods. I think we just live a complete different life to the restrictive meat and two veg, which obviously gave nutrition that people needed back in the day, but it doesn't have to be that way anymore. And there's just a lot of misconceptions. I think the biggest is still that you can't get enough protein. And I mentioned it earlier, just purely because in my head I had jackfruit as an example of a meat alternative, which doesn't really provide much. But protein, you can get it on a plant-based diet, can't you? You don't need to worry, really.
You can, really, definitely, yeah. And you can go as deep as you like, so don't worry about that. Yeah, I think we do live in a very different world. And interestingly, the amount of meat that we eat now, most of us, far exceeds what our grandparents used to eat, which people may find surprising, actually, because, you know, back in the day before industrialized farming processes, meat was expensive. And it was, I guess, as expensive as it should have been, because it takes a lot of energy to raise the animals and then, you know, to be able to provide those for people to eat. It was a very special occasion to have a big roast dinner as a family. And you know, even during the war, with rationing, you know, a family of four would have maybe four eggs in a month, maybe a tiny bit of meat, and the rest of it would have to be, you know, sort of the starchy vegetables. Yeah. And so, yes, I think we do live in a time where many of us feel like we haven't necessarily eaten a proper meal unless it's got meat in it, which I think is potentially quite damaging when it comes to the way that our foods is processed. But luckily, as you say, we've got a lot of alternatives now, and we've got an awful lot of choice. And sometimes our choice is limited by our budget and by our ability to cook. And I think that's an important issue that you know, we probably should touch on. You know, not everybody has the same bandwidth or the same equipment or, you know, the same awareness about the kinds of foods they can choose. But certainly whole foods are the cheapest foods on the planet.
Yes. You
know, they are the basis of, like, the vast majority of, you know, civilizations from India to China. You know, you got those whole grains, those fruits, those vegetables. That is the real bulk of what they've been eating for a very long time. And you're absolutely right. You can get plenty of protein on a plant-based diet. In fact, I like to think of it as the BLT. That doesn't mean bacon, lettuce, tomato. You just have to remember beans, lentils, tofu. They're great sources of protein. Yeah. Beans, chickpeas, obviously, soybeans, lentils, tofu. Yeah. There's so many. You think of the whole grains, quinoa.
All the pulses, the legumes, all of it.
They all contain protein. Brown rice, bread, cereals. You've got the nuts and seeds, you know.
Because they are everywhere, aren't they? And to interject, I think a big question, if everyone listening now is thinking, okay, well, what about the supplements people are talking about? Because, I mean, I'm a big advocate of, if you are vegan, for instance, I do believe most people will be needing a supplement. But what's your opinion on supplementation?
Well, I have written a chapter in my book on supplementation. And I think one of the things that is important as a take home message is that actually we all supplement and we all fortify without even realizing it, because many of the foods that we consume contain fortification. For example, most of the bread that you buy at the supermarket will have various B vitamins fortified. When you have dairy, it's fortified with iodine. And so, you know, we do have a fortification process in many of the foods we consume. And many of us choose to take supplements regardless of what we're eating. It's very popular, for one reason or another. Many people will have taken supplements. But I would say you're absolutely right. My opinion as well is that you know, if you're eating a fully plant-based diet, then vitamin B12 supplement in particular is very important. And we can go into the reasons for why. And, you know, there's a couple of others that may be important nutrients of interest. But I think also just looking at many dietary patterns, I think there are some key nutrients to consider. And it's not just plant-based patterns that would require some thought in that sense. So, yes, I think B12 is an absolute must. I think that... vitamin D is useful for most of us, actually. It's hard to get vitamin D through our diet anyway, but on a plant-based diet, it's probably slightly harder because you can't really get much through your diet. Maybe some sunbathing mushrooms, for example, the brown mushrooms, they're quite good. But otherwise, we get it mostly through our skin, don't we? So, you know, when we're living in a northerly latitude and we're not getting much sunlight.
And then we wear sun cream. Like, if you care like me, I put factor 50 on the minute the sun comes out.
Yeah, I know, slathering on the sun cream and the hats and the long clothes and, you know, being indoors on the computers. Most of us have indoor jobs. There's hardly any of us that work outdoors. So, you know, it's going to be hard to get enough vitamin D for everyone. And, you know, same with B12. It's important for vegans to supplement, but actually worldwide, you know, the most B12 deficiency is actually amongst meat eaters, simply because there are more meat eaters. But people over the age of 50, people on diabetes medications, people on reflux medications, people with other conditions that will affect their absorption. And many people actually do require B12 supplementation. And so that's something to consider. If you're worried about it, you can always ask your doctor for a blood test just to be sure that, you know, you're in the right sort of range.
I would say always asking your doctor, I think, before taking a supplement, because it's worth knowing. And I think it depends how quickly you make a change to a plant-based lifestyle or a vegan lifestyle, how quickly the body can get used to processing and getting the most it needs from its food. There's key nutrients discussed now, like iodine, which we don't discuss enough, and some people mention choline. And I think it's just very confusing for everybody. So go to that chapter in Gemma's book, and I'm also writing a bit on this for the Science of Nutrition book, which is out this December. So make sure you're educated and that you read as much as you can, I think, to everyone listening on this. Now, weight is another subject that I don't actually like the term, Gemma. And I know as a doctor, you probably have to use a BMI scale quite a bit, potentially. I like to talk about weight in terms of body fat loss, if we're talking about weight loss. But a lot of people assume that if they switch to a plant-based lifestyle, the weight's just going to fall off if that's what they are looking for. Do you see that a lot?
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Oh, it's such a good question. And there's a lot of ways that I can answer that. I think, so to go back to what you said first, I do have to use BMI as part of one of this sort of health screening measures that we have to document. I don't think it's a particularly accurate measure. And I personally, as a doctor, I do tend to try to avoid weight loss as the main aim when I talk about health with my patients, because it's a difficult topic, and we know that diets don't work, and you know it can also be a topic that causes, you know, a lot of distress, because people who are carrying excess weight, they know that they are, and it's not easy to just lose the weight. And if it was, I'm sure everybody would be, you know, whatever size that they want to be. It takes it's so many factors involved. But I mean, it is true that when you eat a whole foods, plant-rich diet, you will be consuming a lot more fiber, and therefore, you know, you may experience some increased satiety. There are some studies to show that the more fiber-rich foods you have, the more satiety hormones you're producing, and therefore, overall, the less calories you're likely to be consuming. So, you know, on that basis, there is a potential for weight loss. But I would encourage people, if they are going to embark upon a plant-based diet, to really think about their motives and also their previous history with their relationship with food. Because, you know, if you're going at it just for weight loss purposes, it may be that you end up in some difficulties with regard to your relationship with what you're eating and how much you're enjoying it, and, you know, what your aims are really. Because I find it fascinating, actually, you know, the area, and I know it's something that you've worked at in a lot, Rhea, is the area of sort of eating disorders and disordered eating, because you know, many people struggle with that. And
I would say everybody has a difficult or complicated relationship with food. I would say 100% of the population has a relationship.
We all have a relationship with food. Definitely. And you know, sometimes it can feel very enriching and exciting and nourishing and amazing, but for other people it can feel like a constant preoccupation and a concern and a worry. So, you know, when I looked at the data on this, I found it really interesting. I actually spoke to an amazing research dietitian. She's a real hero of mine. She's called Brenda Davis. And she's done quite a lot of research into this topic. And, you know, what she shared was that actually many vegans tend to have, or at least report, lower incidence of eating disorders. And actually, it seems to be higher in semi-vegetarians. And she was telling me that she thinks perhaps part of the reason for that is, again, to do with the weight loss piece. You know, she feels that perhaps when people decide to go vegan, mainly in the past, it certainly used to be perhaps for animal compassion or for environmental purposes, or, you know, some other reason that wasn't around weight loss. And so for them, it didn't necessarily correlate that it would result in restriction in what they ate. But for those who reported weight loss as being their primary goal, and for those who had a feeling of anxiety around food prior to, then potentially it could have exacerbated those things for those people. So I think it's a really sensitive topic. And I find it difficult when I hear about clinics who sort of avoid vegan eating patterns for certain clients, especially if they have ethical choices around their veganism. But at the same time, I understand that for some people, restricting certain food groups from their diet is really damaging for them. And so, you know, part of their journey towards healing would be very different. So I think it's important just to take a really individualized approach, actually.
Thank you. Thank you so much for... It's also very refreshing for a doctor like yourself to have these views and to understand how complicated and complex and individual everything is. And interesting philosophy with the dietary choices and relationships with food. I mean, there's so many factors that can contribute, but ultimately, I think we're just in a bit of a pickle, really, in the Western world when it comes to eating and what we do. And then there's the position of privilege that people perhaps are in with education and access to food and the way they were brought up versus another person that doesn't have the same choices in life. So I appreciate there is a hell of a lot to consider when we're discussing this. But nutritionally speaking, if we go back to the nutrition, you can also be an unhealthy vegan, can't you, and plant-based eater. I mean, I actually think it's quite easy to do now.
it certainly is when you look at all the junk food options available. And, you know, I don't think that's a bad thing, because people are going to want to eat what they want to eat. And if we don't provide junk food options for people, then, you know, less people will make plant-based choices, which I think is potentially very important for us as a population moving forward. So yes, it exists, but you're right, you know, it's actually quite easy now, perhaps more so than years gone by. You know, if you had to sort of go to a health food shop and try and rummage around for the cacao powder, whereas now you can get, you know, vegan Kit Kats, and, you know, you've got Oreos and all sorts of like vegan specialty donuts and all of this. So yeah, I do think it is something to be mindful of, you know, just as you'd say to anyone, you know, really make the sort of the main basis of your plate, you know, the fruits and the veggies and all the different colors and that variety, and think about, okay, well, how many different colors have I got today? How many different varieties of fruits and veg? How many different types of whole grains have I had my soy? Like, maybe people would enjoy that. I had my beans, lentils, chickpeas? Like, where are my legumes? Legumes are an amazing food group. They are really fantastic. They are associated with reduced risk of diabetes, reduced risk of all-cause mortality.
Heart
disease. We've got to get our legumes in.
And I suppose that the big elephant in the room at the moment is, what do we do with the future generations? Because we know that sustainability-wise, and it is the answer, is for people to go plant-based. There's no denying the research, and I'm always trying to mention that on this podcast, that we just need to reduce animal consumption for people that are scared to do so, but we can make a difference. What about children that are raised, let's say, because I believe children raised plant-based, it's, you know, totally possible. What are your thoughts on babies and children being raised vegan, I think is a big question.
Yeah, and I understand that for a lot of people it can feel quite emotive, and there has been a fair amount of fear mongering in the media and a lot of information, sort of misinformation around it. So I mean, my feeling is, you know, the British Dietetic Association tells us that vegan diets and vegetarian diets, well planned, are suitable for every single life stage. It is important, I think, for parents to feel empowered that they have the right information. We know that plant-based diets can be incredibly health promoting. You know, the American Dietetic Association tells us that it's a way of reducing risk of certain diseases, lifestyle diseases like ischemic heart disease and diabetes and cancers, GI disorders. So also, you know, there's a chance that having a plant-rich diet will also potentially reduce the risk of certain things like, you know, asthma, eczema, allergies, hay fever, recurrent seasonal illnesses to a degree. So it is a very healthy choice if it's done well. I think, you know, where parents start to worry is, you know, whether their child is eating enough. I think, you know, for children, often the focus is on play and is on running around. You know, they won't necessarily want to sit down and you know, eat a big plate of food. So I think it's about being as flexible as you can around your child's needs and their individual circumstances. Certain children, you know, may struggle with new tastes and textures. Children on the autistic spectrum, for example, you know, they may really struggle to incorporate new tastes and new textures. So I think that's an important point to make. But ultimately, it is very, very possible for children to eat a fully plant-based diet. I would say that supplementation is as important as it is for adults. There's no, you know, definitely would fortify with things like B12, vitamin D. Amazingly, now you can get a lot of plant milks that fortify in the same way that you get with dairy. There are certain brands, the growing up milks, for example, after the age of breastfeeding and after the age of formula feeding, that you can use as dairy alternatives. You know, yeah, it's definitely possible.
Because you picked a key word there, it's emotive. And I have noticed from sharing on my second Instagram page, my re-page rather than Retrition, a bit more about motherhood, that I think everybody definitely has an opinion or an interest in, well, quite rightly so, how children are raised. But I think there's an element of kindness needed and non-judgment and respect of others' dietary choices. But equally, the parent plays such a huge role here, and the parent has to be educated. And it is concerning, I think, if a parent doesn't have the knowledge that a child will need the supplementation or where to get it from. And, you know, knowing that the energy requirements a child needs is so much more than they probably realise. So I think we need to do more in this country to educate and support parents, new parents, and especially around dietary choices. But I could go on about that forever, and I know how much time we have. So I'm going to get questions in from our listeners for you, Gemma.
Oh, okay.
Yes. I'm just trying to pick out ones that we haven't already discussed, because often I have a list and I'm like, oh, we discussed that actually already. Right.
Oh, before you, let me just help you out while you're looking.
Yes, thank you. Go.
I thought I would actually say, you know, you've made such a great point around kids, and I mentioned how they can sometimes run around and food isn't necessarily the number one priority. Mm. I think what I think is a really important point is that, you know, children, you shouldn't be afraid to give your children healthy fats. I think a lot of parents who are really into healthy foods or things like macrobiotic diets, they try to feed those to their children, and the children don't do well on that because their energy requirements are so much higher. So I think, you know, make sure that you're giving them a lovely broad mixture of the health containing foods, the fruits, the vegetables, the whole grains, the legumes, the supplementation, but also, you know, don't be afraid of giving them, you know, the fatty foods, you know, the avocados and the nuts and the seeds and the oils that you might need for cooking. You know, this is all really important. And I think as long as you're, you know, giving them those extra healthy fats as well as their fiber, then they should do very well.
100% more nut butter for these children. Yes. Within the right portions, avocado, you get it in. That's given me time. Thank you for my question, and a very valid point to add there. So thank you, Gemma. This is more of a GP type question that you might get, but Ali has said, my periods have been all over the place. Could this be down to my new vegan diet?
Well, potentially it could. I think what's interesting is that when people go on a plant-based diet, sometimes they don't actually realize that they may be consuming less energetically, if you like. So they may be sort of feeling like, oh, I've had enough food compared to what I used to, but they would be having potentially less calories. So it depends really on what she's eating. I can't comment specifically on that, but what I can say is that if women are finding that their periods are irregular after changing their diet, it's worth going to see their doctor, because first of all, it may be a coincidence and there may be another reason why their periods have become irregular, which is important to investigate. But secondly, it may be that they're actually not consuming enough calories for their energy requirements, which I think is important to try and break down. When you have a plant-based diet, you shouldn't have irregular periods as a result of that. Your periods should be regular, and that's very important for long-term health and for your bone health. Plant-based diets could potentially improve things like period pains, fibroids and endometriosis, which I found really fascinating. There's some science around that, and
is
reduction.
That down to the fiber consumption or yes. the general antioxidant?
It's a couple of reasons. The fiber, as you've rightly pointed out, the fiber consumption is great because it allows you to be able to poop out any excess estrogen that you're no longer requiring. Whereas if you have constipation, you tend to reabsorb some of these things that your body's been trying to evacuate because it's sort of there stuck in the colon. So that's one potential reason. And another potential reason is the avoidance of sort of hormone disruptors. Well, not complete avoidance, because I think it's almost impossible to do that in this day and age. But in the US, I think chicken is a number one source of phthalates, which are sort of hormone disruptors in the diet. And in Europe or in the UK, I think it might be fish. So when you're having a fully plant-based diet, you're essentially minimizing your exposure to these phthalates, which are potentially hormone disruptors. And so that would also be potentially improving things like endometriosis and fibroids as a result of that.
Yeah, 100%. And it's fascinating. It's just the way that diet has a huge, I call it like it's a wheel and a cog, you know, it has a knock-on effect on so many other elements of the processes that the body is trying to do. every second of the day.
Absolutely. And I've just thought of another point, actually.
Yes.
Sorry, Ree.
Great.
PCOS, you know,
yes.
you're the person that asked the question, you know, you may have PCOS, polycystic ovaries, which is one of the most common reasons for irregular or less frequent periods. And interestingly, actually, plant-based diets could be beneficial for PCOS, because if you're having a healthy plant-rich diet, what you're doing is you're potentially improving your insulin sensitivity, and insulin resistance is linked to PCOS just as it's linked to type 2 diabetes. So again, it's likely that on the whole, most women will find, if they have PCOS or if they have fibroids or if they have endometriosis, a healthy plant-rich diet could be beneficial. But if you're not eating enough for your energy needs, that's where you might run into some trouble.
Yeah, thank you, Gemma. To be honest, we've answered for so many of these questions that I pinpointed out here. I think the last one to mention before we move on to the next bit of the podcast is from Harry. How can I get my partner to eat less meat? She's convinced that it's all a bit of a, I can't say the word he said. So I don't know how that made it on my list. I was just
reading
it. I love
it. You're trying to read it out and be diplomatic at the same time. I like that very much.
And I was stumped completely, which is very rare. So thank you, Harry. But let's answer the question.
Yes, you got in a little bit of a pickle there. No.
Yeah.
Well, first up, you can't make her do anything.
You
cannot make her do anything. And I think that's an important point. And it's the same with my patients. I'm not going to be bossing people around and telling them what to do. People want to have to come to this themselves. We've got to come at it with love, compassion and patience, even though it feels frustrating for you. I think you have to just lead by example. You know, if you're feeling great, if you're cooking amazing food, if you're energetic, if you're, you know, if you've got a great, you know, sense of purpose and meaning behind what you're doing, then she'll notice, and she'll want a little bit more of that. She'll want a piece of that for herself. And, you know, if she doesn't, she doesn't. But I think, you know, there's no forcing it on anybody.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Well, we're going to move on to the fact or fiction round now, if you are ready.
Oh. Okay, I'm ready. I'm a bit nervous.
Don't be. You will be totally fine. I know you will. So here we go.
Okay, okay.
You'll probably lose weight by going plant-based.
Fiction, with a little bit of fact.
Love it.
I think it depends what you're eating is the answer to that one. If I'm allowed more than yes or no.
Of course you are. Of course you are. Raw vegan is the healthiest diet.
I'd say no. Many people thrive on a raw vegan diet, and I'm not going to say that, you know, I'm certainly not going to sort of suggest that their experience is wrong, but I think at the same time it's important to look at the balance of all the things that you're eating. And for many people, especially if you've had any gut dysbiosis or digestive issues, then raw diets can be a little bit tricky.
Yeah. Organic food has more nutrition.
Do I say true or false, or yes or no? How does this
work? False, fact or fiction. No, fact or fiction. But do you know what? I should know this. I've only done 12 seasons. But most guests say a multitude of things, and I just roll with it.
Okay. Fiction, I'll say then. There's a lot of great... I could talk for ages about organic versus non-organic. But I suppose to keep it simple, I'd say fiction. I myself do purchase some organic products, and there are some potential benefits, but also many of the fruits and vegetables that we eat are not organic, and many of the studies that we have for benefits to fruits and veggies are based on conventional produce.
Well, but very speedy. Well done. Soy foods like tofu and tempeh have the closest nutritional profile to animal protein.
I'd say fact, actually. You know, it's I think soy foods are really underrated. They're a complete source of amino acids, essential amino acids anyway. They're a pretty decent source of nutrition.
Wonderful. More than two fruit portions a day is too much sugar.
Fiction. Fruit is amazing.
Wonderful. Yeah.
And please, if you're type 2 diabetic, you don't need to be afraid of fruit.
Thank you.
It's an important thing to say.
Thank you.
Fruit is very, very good for us, full of fiber and micronutrients. Yeah.
Just written that in the book. I'm so glad you just said that. Honey is vegan.
Fiction. Most people who are vegan would probably shy away from honey because, well, for a number of reasons, actually. I know it's, for those of us who haven't necessarily researched it, it might sound strange, but honey potentially does, how do I put this? Conventionally farmed honey can be problematic for the bee because they would take the honey from the bee and then they give them sugar water, which is less nutrient dense for the bee. And so, yeah, it takes one bee's whole lifetime to produce a teaspoon of honey, and they produce it to maintain the hive. So, you know, from I think it's great that people are more into beekeeping and locally sourced honey from local beekeepers, I think is a great thing to do. But at the same time, commercially produced honey is not great for the hives and for the bees.
So sad. So sad when you said that, a lifetime. Right. I need to keep keep focused. Plant-based diets can be easily affordable.
Absolutely fact. They can be much more affordable in some senses, as long as you know to have whole foods and, as I say, buy in bulk and cook it. You're going to be definitely looking to a financial winner.
Brilliant. All plant-based milks are fortified.
Fiction. If you buy organic plant-based milks, they don't have fortification, and you do have to look at the packet. There are many brands now that do fortify, and I think that's fantastic. They should be. And just look at the side, look for iodine as well. That's a great one to look for fortification, as well as your the calcium and things like that.
Perfect. Plant-based eaters typically sleep better.
I don't know. No. Probably fiction. I think there's a lot of factors around sleep. So, yeah, I think probably fiction for that one.
Yeah. Vegans can get all nutrients from their diets without supplementation.
I'd say fiction. It's really important to supplement with B12, and we talked about that. B12 is made from microbes in the soil, and, you know, if you're eating a plant-based diet, you're not going to get those same microbes. And interestingly, even on a meat-based diet, when you're eating factory-farmed meats, the animals actually had to be given B12 supplements for them to contain it in their muscle. So actually, in a sense, you're just cutting out the middle cow.
There we go. Perfect fact or fiction round. Thank you so much.
Oh, the pressure. You can breathe. The pressure. Did I get it right? Did I get everything right?
You did. You know, I was, I've got an episode in this season of me being interviewed on it, and oh my goodness, it's like a little sweat patch underneath the bottom of my seat. So you did really well. Thank you. And it does unfortunately wrap up the episode, and I feel like Gemma and I could have spoken for a very long time on the subject, actually, and we'll close with our, forever, with our food for thoughts. I think I'll start by saying that there shouldn't be any judgment in this particular area. And as health professionals, I think Gemma and I just want to encourage a healthy lifestyle and for you to make a decision that makes you happy and keeps you healthy, but being informed. I think being informed is the key aspect to this discussion, that you need to know the knowledge to be able to make the choice in the first place and the facts. And for instance, I think the fact about the honey and the bee, I think people didn't probably know that that squeezy plastic honey bottle potentially may not be the best thing in the world. But also just a caveat that privilege, your position in life, the where you came from, the education, your religion, lifestyle factors, there are lots of things to take into consideration when we're discussing plant-based diets. But the overwhelming evidence is that there's a lot of health benefits as well. That was a very quick roundup from me. But Gemma, if you could leave everybody with a take-home food for thought today, what would that be?
Oh, you really summarised that so nicely, and I completely agree with everything you said. But I think my overarching thought is, as you said, we have to come at this with love, compassion and patience and education. So, you know, when we understand a bit more about things like environmental science, and if we're interested in that, then it's going to be really important to think about those food choices. But not everybody is in that position. And you know, we all come at this from very different perspectives based on our upbringing, where we live and all the experiences we've had so far. So absolutely come at these things with love and compassion, and you can't go far wrong.
Oh, Gemma, it's been an absolute pleasure. I've really enjoyed speaking with you today. Thank you. Where can I direct everybody to hear more about the wonderful work that you do?
Oh, well, thank you. I really enjoyed it too. You can look at my book, Plant Power Doctor. My website also has loads of free resources available on there, plantpowerdoctor.com. Also, it's called GemmaNewman.com. You can get there the same way. And on Instagram, I am Plant Power Doctor.
Wonderful. Gemma, thank you so much for coming on Food for Thought.
Thank you for having me.
If you are enjoying Food for Thought, you are going to absolutely love our up-and-coming episodes. So if you don't already, make sure you're subscribed. That way you will be the first to hear it every Monday. It would also be brilliant if you have the time to leave a review. These reviews are so crucial to make sure that we can reach more people and, of course, reach those higher highs in the charts. For more information about my nutrition clinic, the books, healthy recipes, and so much more, please visit nutrition.com. You can follow me at nutrition on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, TikTok, and YouTube. And of course, don't forget The Science of Nutrition, my latest book, will be out December the 30th, 2021.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.